Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording in our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. Today, we're going to have some analysis for you of the president's immigration reforms, as well as details about a tuition hike imposed by the University of California Regents and what Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins from San Diego is trying to do to reverse that and help students. Hear why NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson has once again proven himself to be a hometown hero with new grants from his foundation to benefit schools in El Cajon, Lakeside, and San Diego. We'll have news about a string of arson fires in City Heights and help that is sought by police to solve these crimes. You'll hear about unexploded military ordnance at several former military sites right here in East County. And we'll tell you about an Adopt-a-Grandparent program launched by an Alpine businesswoman to help local senior citizens over the holidays. Learn about a White House conference on education held at San Diego State University this week. Plus, get details on a nationwide recall of strollers due to finger amputations. We'll have results of a new health study from San Diego State warning about dangers from hookah smoking. You'll also hear about a fire that will prevent some UPS packages locally from reaching their destinations. And speaking of destinations, on Destination East County, we'll have all the hottest events coming up as East County heralds in the holiday season this week with tree lightings in several cities, a snow festival, and the Mother Goose Parade, as well as lots of holiday concerts and more. Our newsmaker today is Pastor Terry Masengo from the Salvation Army in El Cajon. This year, the Salvation Army is short on food donations for Thanksgiving, and so he is asking local residents to participate in a drive-through food bank this Tuesday. Plus, he'll share details on how families in need can sign up to receive gift baskets with food and toys for their children this Christmas, and how listeners can participate in the East County Toy and Food Drive, the largest effort in our region to help families in need this holiday season. Plus, from Public News Service, we'll have the latest national headlines from Washington, D.C. to Ferguson, Missouri. We'll have all these stories and more, so please stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
President Barack Obama announced immigration reforms on Thursday night, and just as Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush before him, he took unilateral actions to expand protections for immigrants after Congress failed to act. President Obama's plan will offer temporary relief from deportation to immigrants who are parents of U.S. citizens or legal residents, have been in the country for more than 5 years, are working and paying taxes. He will also extend a program that already allows undocumented migrants brought here as children to stay in this country. The reforms are temporary, however, and could be undone by a future president or Congress. Besides offering protections for a limited number of immigrants already in the U.S., the president also announced plans to strengthen enforcement at the border and prioritize enforcement resources to focus on deporting criminals who have felony convictions, not families or working parents of U.S. citizens. In his primetime address to the nation, the president said, "Are we a nation that tolerates the hypocrisy of a system where workers who pick our fruit and make our beds never have a chance to get right with the law? Or are we a nation that gives them a chance to make amends, take responsibility, and give their kids a better future?" he asked. "Are we a nation that accepts the cruelty of ripping children from their parents' arms? Or are we a nation that values families and works to keep them together?" Reforming immigration was always on Obama's mind from the moment he took office. A president who believes he was elected twice to engineer change, determined not to give up when Congress obstructed what many view as a mandate from voters who swept Obama into office. The United States Senate passed an immigration reform bill in June of 2013. It was up to John Boehner and the House of Representatives to put a new law on Obama's desk to sign. Throughout this time, Obama felt heat from immigration activists, so much so that he made statements suggesting he couldn't fix immigration on his own. Those comments, intended to give the House space to do its work, have instead come back to haunt him and are ammunition for Republicans who say Obama knows he is breaking the law. But the White House says its legal counsel has assured them that the president's actions are legal, and in fact, the president stopped short of broader actions sought by immigration reform advocates, such as outright amnesty. The president elaborated on his plan. So we're going to offer the following deal. If you've been in America for more than 5 years, if you have children who are American citizens or legal residents, if you register, pass a criminal background check, and you're willing to pay your fair share of taxes, you'll be able to apply to stay in this country temporarily without fear of deportation. You can come out of the shadows and get right with the law. The president went on to quote the Bible. Scripture tells us that we shall not oppress a stranger, for we know the heart of a stranger. We were strangers once too. My fellow Americans, we are and always will be a nation of immigrants. We were strangers once too. And whether our forebears were strangers who crossed the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Rio Grande, we are here only because this country welcomed us in and taught us that to be an American is about something more than what we look like or what our last names are or how we worship. What makes us Americans is our shared commitment to an ideal. That all of us are created equal and all of us have the chance to make our lives whatever we want. The president announced he would wield executive power to patch up the system as best he could, temporarily shielding up to 5 million people from the threat of deportation. The plan also aims to protect workers from corporations that prey on undocumented immigrants and to assure that those who are here and working hard are contributing taxes to boost the economy. For years, Republican leadership said immigration reforms would have to wait until the border was secure. But despite billions spent on beefing up border security and a major decrease in illegal immigration, Republicans in control of the Congress have refused to embrace comprehensive immigration reforms. According to CNN, a senior White House official said Thursday that the administration had concluded there was no point waiting any longer because House Speaker John Boehner would not promise to bring up a new bill in the new Congress. Republicans wasted no time in accusing President Obama of abuse of power and of acting like a king rather than a president. House Speaker Boehner said after the president's speech that Congress will not stand idle as the president undermines the rule of law. He further accused the president of sabotaging any efforts at bipartisan reform. But those accusations ignore history. For better or worse, the Reagan administration unilaterally acted to prevent deportation of family members of immigrants who had been granted amnesty. President George H.W. Bush also acted unilaterally on immigration to establish a family fairness action that prevented deportation of family members living with an immigrant going through the legalization process. These actions kept millions of undocumented immigrants in the U.S. The second President Bush, George W. Bush, by contrast, did not take actions to enact immigration reforms, leading to broad support among Latino voters for President Obama, who won his first election by a landslide on the heels of immigration marches that swept the nation. When immigration reform died in Congress this year, Obama asked his lawyers if he could change the system on his own. The Obama White House legal team concluded that he could. So more than 500 days after the Senate passed a bipartisan immigration bill that the Republican-controlled House failed to take action on or propose an alternative, Obama unveiled his plan to go it alone. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
Ignoring protests from students, opposition from the governor, and legislative leaders, University of California's Board of Regents voted Thursday to approve tuition hikes. The increase will be 5% a year over the next 5 years. That's 25% total at all UC campuses. For the 2015-2016 school year, tuition will be $12,804, and by 2019, students will be forced to pay $15,000 a year just for their tuition. Some regents indicated that if the state increases funding, however, they would vote to reduce tuitions. Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins, a Democrat from San Diego, has pledged to introduce a measure in the legislature to boost funding for the UC system. She had urged the regents to reject any tuition or fee hikes. Atkins, an ex officio regent with voting rights, called the fee hikes unacceptable, adding, "California students and their families have faced too many fee increases already." Atkins wants to provide an extra $50 million in funding from the state's general fund and adopt pension reforms for new employees at the UC system. Her proposal would cut fees for middle-income families by over 20% and increase tuition on out-of-state students by $5,000, also capping enrollment on out-of-state students to the current levels and increasing by 10,000 the number of California students who would be admitted. In addition, she would also impose limits on pay raises for UC executives. Regent Sherry Lansing said she was saddened to vote for the tuition hike and blasted the state for giving the UC system less money from Prop 30 than was expected, despite strong support for that measure from students, alumni, and faculty members. UC President Janet Napolitano said that the tuition increases are needed to help with employee pay and pensions, hire more faculty, and raise the number of California undergraduates by 5,000 over 5 years. The opposing votes on the regents were cast by Governor Jerry Brown, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins, State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Torlakson, Student Regent Sadia Saifuddin, and two new regents appointed by Brown earlier this week, former Assembly Speaker John Perez and Long Beach City College President Eloy Ortiz Oakley, also voted against the tuition increases. As the regents convened to vote, students chanted, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, tuition hikes have got to go." A protest a day earlier at UC San Francisco became confrontational with students engaged in pushing matches with police and a window broken. At UCLA, a planned bonfire before a football game was canceled due to concerns about protests. On Tuesday, however, a peaceful protest was held at UC San Diego's campus, drawing about 400 participants in what UC professor Jorge Mariscal called a beautiful day for a student uprising. For students and parents concerned about the increasingly unaffordable cost of a UC education, however, the UC regents' vote amounts to a failing grade. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
UT San Diego has published a list of 9 danger zones for explosives still lurking beneath the ground at former military sites. It may surprise you to learn that 7 of those are in East County. The highest risk site is Camp Lockett in Campo, a former Army base that is currently used by equestrian groups. 5 others are in the Borrego Springs Desert and the Anza Borrego Desert. The specific locations are at the Benson Ocotillo Dry Lake, at Camp Ensign, at the Borrego Hotel, at Borrego Navy Military Wash, and at Clark Dry Lake. Another is in Ramona, at the Ramona Bombing Target Area near Highway 67 and Highland Valley Road. Others include the Brownfield Bombing Range in Otay and Camp Elliott near Sycamore Canyon in the Scripps Ranch area. You can find out more information at eastcountymagazine.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
The San Diego Police Department is rounding up suspects in a wave of arson fires that have struck the mid-city neighborhoods in recent weeks. Investigators believe several arsonists may be responsible for at least 16 fires set mostly in neighborhoods in and around City Heights. Now investigators are asking for the public's help. Councilwoman Marty Emerald's office received a briefing from the Metro Arson Strike Team, or MAST. The councilwoman who represents City Heights says, "We need witnesses to any of these fires or suspicious activity to come forward. So far, these arsonists have damaged cars and other property, but the next fire could harm or kill innocent people. These criminals must be stopped," she said. The fires began in September. The most recent was last week on November 12th. The public is encouraged to call 911 if you see any suspicious behavior, and if you have any photos or videos in these areas where the fires were set that may show the suspects, please call MAST at 619-236-6815. The public is also asked to clear debris out of alleys near your homes or businesses so that you do not become the next victim in this string of arson fires. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
First Lady Michelle Obama gave a video welcoming message at San Diego State University at a White House-sponsored conference designed to help high school counselors motivate more students to get college degrees. A similar event was recently held at Harvard University. The First Lady told those present, I know that if we truly want to help our young people reach their college dreams, we need to support our school counselors. Our young people have so much potential. They need someone in their lives who believe in them and who can show them the steps they need to take to get to college. About 600 counselors and other educators from 30 states participated in the conference, including some who watched a video remotely, Times of San Diego reported. President Barack Obama recently rolled out a plan to help reduce student debt and remove barriers to higher education. Other conference speakers included representatives of the White House's College Opportunity Agenda and the First Lady's Reach Higher Initiative, as well as representatives from the U.S. Department of Education. The Reach Higher Initiative is the First Lady's effort to inspire every student in America to take charge of their future by completing their education past high school, whether at a professional training program, a community college, or a four-year college or university. The White House College Opportunity Agenda strives to help students, especially those with low incomes, attain higher education. Without a college education, a child born in the bottom economic fifth has only a 5% chance of making it to the top one-fifth. However, the chance of making it to the top nearly quadruples with a college degree, creating a nearly equal chance of making it to the top fifth as staying in the bottom fifth. Yet only 9% of those born in the bottom quarter of household income attain a bachelor's degree by age 25, compared to 54% in the top quarter. According to the White House, improving college success is one of the most powerful tools to increase economic mobility and reduce inequality. This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ.
The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has announced a recall of 11 models of Graco strollers. The strollers can pinch a young child's finger and have caused several amputations. The recall includes 4.7 million strollers sold under the names Aspen, Breeze, Capri, Cirrus, Glider, Kite, Light Rider, Sierra, Solara, Sterling, and Travelmate model strollers and travel systems. To see a full list of the strollers, you can go to the Consumer Product Safety Commission website. And for more information, you can also contact Graco Children's Products at 800-345-4109 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, or go online to gracobaby.com and click on the Help Center at the top, and then click Recall and Safety Notifications for more information. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Once again, six-time NASCAR racing champion Jimmy Johnson has proven himself to be a hero for education in his hometown communities here in East County. The Jimmy Johnson Foundation Lowe's Toolbox for Education has awarded over $500,000 in grants for 2014, including grants to three schools in the Grossmont Union High School District. The local grants include over $80,000 for Grossmont High School to integrate technology and make connections between arts and core academic classes, over $29,000 to Chaparral High School to create a computer lab for online learning and digital arts instruction, $23,000 for El Capitan High School in Lakeside to buy new laptops for teachers to use for digital resources and to teach students how to use online resources and apps. Other grants went to schools in North Carolina, Oklahoma, and to Loma Portal Elementary School here in San Diego. Jimmy Johnson says he and his wife, Chandra, are excited to see this year's project in his hometown get off the ground, as well as in the other locations. He adds, "The Champions Grant Program is great because we get to see the impact of the projects from start to finish." The mission of the Jimmy Johnson Foundation is to assist children, families, and communities in need throughout the United States. The foundation has committed over $6.7 million to charities, including nearly $3.7 million through the Champion Grants Program since the foundation began in 2006. Currently, the foundation is focusing on K-12 public education. To learn more about the 2014 Champions Grant projects, you can visit jimmyjohnsonfoundation.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio here in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. And today my very special guest is Captain Terry Masango. Terry is the Corps Officer and the pastor at Salvation Army, and he is here today to talk about some good things they're doing to help people in need for Thanksgiving, as well as the East County Toy and Food Drive for the Christmas holidays. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here today.
Let's start by talking about something new this year. You're having a Thanksgiving drive-through food drive. Tell us about that.
Yes. So here in East County, we have many families who are struggling to purchase food for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. So we felt that it was important to provide food baskets for them for this season. So last year, we purchased meals for 500 families that we gave them to go home and prepare for the holiday.
For Thanksgiving.
Yes. Unfortunately, because of how tough the economy is, we were unable this year to purchase the food. Mm. So we dreamt up the great idea of doing a Thanksgiving drive-through food drive. We thought we would make it easier for people on their way to work. They would just drive through our parking lot. They hand us a turkey or any of the fixings and keep driving on to work.
Very nice. And that's going to be held on Tuesday, November 25th from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. And listeners, if you want to stop by that morning, the address for that
is 1011 East Main here in El Cajon, 1011 East Main at the Salvation Army building. You just drive through. You don't even need to get out of your car. If you don't have a turkey or any of the Thanksgiving fixings, we will have kettles lining up so you can donate, and then we can dash over and purchase the food for the families.
Very good. And besides frozen turkeys, some of the fixings that are recommended include cans of black olives, boxes of breadcrumbs, bread cubes, brown sugar, canned pumpkin, chicken broth, cornbread mix, cream of mushroom soup, cranberry sauce, milk powder, French fried onions, and, of course, canned green beans for those green bean casseroles everyone likes to make for Thanksgiving.
Yes. We know that sometimes the grocery stores will have a buy one, get one free.
Right.
So just buy, bring us the free one, and we'll gladly put it to great use on Tuesday.
Very good. Now, in addition to providing these meals for folks to be thankful for on Thanksgiving, you are also working up for this year's East County Toy and Food Drive, which is by far the largest toy and food drive to help families across our region. How many families are you hoping to help this year?
This year for the East County Toy and Food Drive, we're expecting to serve about 1,500 families. We anticipate helping 1,200 families here in the city areas, and then another 300 families in the backcountry. I don't know if many of you knew this. The Salvation Army is present in the backcountry. We have a satellite office in Pine Valley.
I didn't know that.
And our staff, they go around and distribute food in all the areas in the backcountry.
So rural residents. Yeah.
The rural residents, yes.
Now, if someone listening out there, if their family is in need or they know somebody who is, how do families sign up to be on the list to receive these gift baskets, which, by the way, include both food and toys,
and toys.
I understand.
Yes. Any families who are interested, if they have access to the Internet, you can get all the registration information at SalvationArmyElCajon.com. SalvationArmyElCajon.com. We have pages and pages of Christmas help and Thanksgiving information. But you could also call our office at 619-440-4685. 619-440-4685.
And I understand that there are going to be sign-up days coming up on December 6th, December 8th, and 9th for families in need.
Yes. So for those who are in the city's area, we are providing an opportunity for families to come to the Salvation Army very early by 6 a.m. We'll give out numbers and we'll serve about 500 people that day, registering them.
So it's a first come, first serve.
And then we'll also, for those who miss that day on that Saturday, December 6th, you can come on Monday the 8th or Tuesday the 9th
in the
evenings.
What are the
qualifications for someone to be eligible?
Basically, we just ask that they bring information about themselves and their family. So we are asking for a picture ID and social security card if they have it, and for their kids as well. We know that many families, maybe it's a grandma taking care of grandkids. Yeah. So if they have social security cards or medical coupons for the kids, that will work.
Okay. And what do each of the gift baskets include?
So for the food, it's basically almost all the food you read earlier for Thanksgiving, except that we substitute turkey for ham. But we also provide toys for the children. The toys are, we provide two stocking stuffers and two big toys for each child up to age 12. So once again, if you are interested in helping your family who lives here in East County, go to the Salvation Army website, which is salvationarmyelkhorn.com, or call us at 619-440-4685, or just come to our offices here in Elkhorn, 1011 East Main.
And you can bring a new unwrapped toy or a donation.
Yes.
The next thing coming up for this is the Stoney and Rob's Holiday Party and Auction, which is held every year at Viejas. And Viejas, I understand, is the largest donor to the toy drive each year.
They are the largest donor. They give us a donation of $15,000 in cash at the event. Mm-hmm. They host the whole party, Stoney and Rob's holiday auction and party. They also provide toys. So every year they've stepped up on their donations. Last year they surprised us when they did their big reveal. Mm-hmm. They gave us 12,000 toys.
Wow.
And this year I understand they are shooting for even more than that.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing event. This year it's going to be Wednesday, December 10th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Viejas Hotel. This is an outdoor event this year, by the way. They don't have the Dreamcatcher Lounge.
They're yes.
costing people dressed warmly. It will be outdoors. They have
yes.
the auction. People can bring a new unwrapped toy right there.
Yes.
And then they open the stage every year, and they
yes.
they
It just fills it.
It's so much. I think they must have had to get a bigger stage or something.
Yes.
It's just overflowing with toys out there.
Yes. We would love for the community to please support us by coming to this party on December 10th mm-hmm. at Viejas. And make sure that you just provide us with all the things we need to help our community.
Yeah, I understand they ask, they get their employees involved, their patrons at the casino, the outlet malls,
as well as
the general public
yes.
to all participate in the toy drive. Now, once you have all of these toys collected and all of the food, then you have another really fun event coming up, which is the Fire Truck and Toy Parade.
Yes.
Tell us when and where that's going to be this year.
The fire truck parade starts at the fire department in downtown Elkhorn, and we march down up to the Target parking lot, which is at the corner of Broadway and also very close to where 67 goes by Broadway
mm-hmm.
at the Target parking lot. At that, we have a kind of carnival event where we're face painting for kids, different activities for kids, a bounce house and different things, but also Kogo Radio will be broadcasting live, so people who have donations can bring them and can be interviewed and tell the community why they're supporting the East County Toy and Food
Wonderful.
Drive.
And then they have all the firefighters bringing in the toys aboard the fire truck, so it's quite
yes.
a spectacle.
We also have a Mini Cooper Club that comes down, over 60 Mini Coopers.
Mm-hmm.
They drive down Broadway and bring toys. It's just a magnificent
wow,
sight.
I didn't know about that.
Yes.
Marvelous. And that event, the Fire Truck and Toy Parade, is going to be held on Saturday, December 13th from 9 a.m. to noon.
Yes.
Very good. So, again, I've been speaking, listeners, for those who turned in late, with Captain Terry Masango, who is the Corps Officer and Pastor at the Salvation Army in Elkhorn, serving East County. We've
yes.
been talking about the East County Toy and Food Drive. And for people who want to get more information on that or on the Thanksgiving drive-through food donation coming up even sooner, on the 25th of November, you can go to www.salvationarmyelkhorn.com or call area code 619 440-4683. Yeah. Thank you very much, Pastor Masango, for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to serve East County. Thank you.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
Concerned about senior citizens who are alone over the holidays in convalescent homes, an East County businesswoman has started an Adopt a Grandparent program. Sally K. Brown, a Mary Kay Cosmetics Senior Director and Alpine Mountain Empire Chamber of Commerce member, has been helping to provide for lonely and less fortunate seniors in our region for the last 4 years. You can help by donating $25 that will be used to create a Christmas stocking filled with hand lotions, foot creams, socks, a teddy bear, and candy. Brown says, I am doubling my efforts this year to include 2 convalescent homes instead of 1, so my goal is 250 gifts. Please consider participating this year to bring some cheer to older folks whose own families have forgotten them or are simply too busy to visit. It is quite typical for no family members to attend these convalescent home Christmas parties. Besides donations, you can also personally participate and sing some Christmas carols to brighten up the holidays for local seniors. To participate, contact Sally K. Brown at 619-669-6554. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
If you're waiting on a UPS package delivery, you might be out of luck. A UPS delivery van filled with parcels caught fire and was destroyed Wednesday morning in Dalzura. California Highway Patrol received a report about the blaze near the Dalzura Post Office on State Route 94 in East County. The vehicle was engulfed in flames when firefighters arrived and doused the blaze. Packages in the vehicle were destroyed. CAL FIRE Captain Kendall Bordister said, the highway was closed briefly in both directions due to the fire. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This is Miriam Raftery with a health report. Hookah smokers, as well as non-smokers who are exposed to smoke in hookah lounges, show a significant increase in benzene levels. According to a new study by San Diego State University, benzene exposure can raise the risk of leukemia. Researchers tested urine samples from 105 hookah smokers and 103 non-smokers. They found levels of a benzene metabolite were 4 times higher in hookah smokers and twice as high in non-smokers who had attended a hookah lounge event. The study was supported by the American Cancer Society and published in the journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention. Neda Kasem, Associate Director at the Center for Behavioral Epidemiology and Community Health at San Diego State, says that in contrast to what's believed, hookah tobacco smoking is not a safe alternative to smoking other forms of tobacco. She adds, because there's no safe level of exposure to benzene, our results call for interventions to reduce or prevent hookah tobacco use, regulatory actions to limit hookah-related exposure to toxicants, including benzene, and include hookah smoking in clean indoor air legislation.
This is a public service announcement for the Backcountry Land Trust and the Endangered Habitats Conservancy. Volunteers are needed to help restore the watershed along Alpine Creek and habitat on Alpine Boulevard. On Saturday, November 22nd, from 1 to 4 p.m., volunteers will help plant native trees, shrubs, and ground cover species to enhance native habitat along this important wildlife corridor through Alpine. Volunteers will learn skills such as identifying and caring for native plants, propagation by cutting and dividing plant stocks, building gopher cages, planting hedgerows, and irrigation techniques. If you would like to volunteer, meet at 505 Alpine Boulevard at 1 p.m. on November 15th or 22nd. Wear long sleeves and pants, sturdy shoes, work gloves, and sun protection. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barena.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes events ushering in the holiday season, from a tree lighting and snow sledding in Santee to the annual Mother Goose Parade.
Plus, we'll have previews of some coming attractions in the next week or so, including musicals, Lemon Grove's Holiday Bonfire, and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's Holiday Party.
So stay tuned for all of these events and much, much more from East County Magazine.
Ho, 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 a free snow zone and sledding are coming to Santee on November 21st from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. during the city's annual tree lighting ceremony at Santee Trolley Square, located at 9884 Mission Gorge Road. The tree will be illuminated at 6:15. Other activities include carriage rides, kids' holiday crafts and games, visits with Santa Claus, kettle corn and other food, warm beverages, carolers, and Cajun Zydeco music by the Bayou Brothers with a holiday twist.
The musical Willy Wonka, based on the beloved children's book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, takes stage this weekend at Greenfield Middle School in El Cajon. Christian Youth Theater present the musical classic Friday through Sunday, November 21st through the 23rd. For tickets and information, visit cytsandiego.org.
Lemon Grove Live on the Main Street Promenade will be held on November 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. This event features the Phoenix Band on the Main Street Promenade performing country and western rock and roll and big band music.
Poway Center for the Performing Arts will present Woodstock, the musical, a live tribute to the original music fest that became a nexus for the counterculture generation. The performance will include local San Diego musicians Eve Sellis, Tim Flannery, Berkeley Hart, Back to the Garden Band, and dozens of special guests. Surprises are guaranteed. For tickets, visit powayarts.org.
Project Wildlife will introduce you to the fascinating world of bats on Saturday, November 22nd from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Lakeside River Park. You can also meet Animal Ambassador Daisy, a Mexican free-tailed bat, in this indoor classroom located on Lakeside's River Park property. For more information and to register in advance for this free event, go to lakesideriverpark.org.
One of the most unusual holiday season traditions in East County is coming up, the fourth annual Pomegranate Days celebration at Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona will be held on Saturday and Sunday, November 22nd and 23rd from noon to 5. Festivities include camel rides, bird and camel shows, shopping for holiday gifts, and feeding pomegranate to camels. There is an admission fee plus charges for camel rides and a barbecue lunch. For details, visit cameldairy.com.
The Mother Goose Parade in El Cajon will roll out on Sunday, November 23rd, with a new route and a new start time at 12:15 p.m. The largest parade of its kind, featuring fairy tale floats, marching bands, equestrian entries, and Santa Claus, will start on Ballantine Street, head down Main Street in Johnson before ending at the Mother Goose Village at Parkway Plaza Shopping Center. The Mother Goose Village will be a two-day event, open Saturday and Sunday, November 22nd and 23rd. There will also be a red carpet on Main Street and WD Hall Drive at 10:30 a.m. before the parade kicks off. Visit mothergooseparade.org for more information.
Now, for a preview of coming attractions, get ready for the third annual Waddle and Trot 5K run held on Thanksgiving Day, November 27th at 8 a.m. Pathways Community Church will host the Waddle and Trot, which benefits the Santee Santas and the Santee Food Bank. What better way to work off some calories before savoring your Thanksgiving feast? To register for the 5K or fun run, visit pathways.cc/waddleandtrot.
The swing revival band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy will hold a wild and swinging holiday party on Friday, November 28th at Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater in Dehesa, starting at 8 p.m. For tickets and details, go to sequan.com.
The historic Gold Rush town of Julian hosts its annual country Christmas tree lighting on Saturday, November 29th from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. The festivities include music, crafts, booths, and performances throughout the day, followed by the tree lighting at dark, after which children can visit with Santa and Mrs. Claus. After the tree lighting, you can also stroll down Main Street to visit the Julian Cider Mill for a living nativity.
Lemon Grove hosts its annual Light Up the Grove bonfire on December 5th in Civic Center Park from 5 to 9 p.m. You can also visit the Lemon Grove Historical Society's Christmas Open House at the Personage and Lee House, where you can meet Santa and peruse the elves' gift shop. The night also includes horse-drawn wagon rides, games, face painting, and crafts to provide spirited good cheer for people of all ages.
Santa arrives at Santee Lakes on Sunday, December 7th, in a celebration that runs from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There is fun for the whole family, including snow sledding, carnival rides, inflatable jumps, boat rides, arts and crafts, food, and s'mores. For details, visit santeelakes.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals and events and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, November the 21st, 2014. I'm Mike Clifford. Seven stories featured on our Friday rundown, including reaction from a pair of states to President Obama's immigration action, peace education in Ferguson ahead of a potentially volatile grand jury decision, and a look at how one state is reducing the risk for sudden infant death syndrome. Now, our top story, President Obama outlined his executive order on immigration last night, intended to curtail deportations. Those pushing for immigration reform cheer the move, but note that comprehensive reform is still up to Congress. Deborah Smith's been talking with immigration reform advocates in Maryland, where the Pew Research Center estimates more than 500,000 could be affected.
Well, the changes are expected to lead to fewer deportations and detentions for people in the country without authorization, especially for those with children born in the U.S. Kika Matos at the Center for Community Change says it's the kind of announcement they've been waiting for 6 years.
We will celebrate this victory. We will welcome it with open arms. And so we will be out on the streets today. And guess what we're going to do on Monday? We're going to go back to the hard work of continuing to fight for a permanent solution.
She adds that comprehensive reform still has to come from Congress.
Further south in the Sunshine State, it's estimated Obama's action could impact 900,000 people. Cheryl Little with Americans for Immigrant Justice says while the order delaying deportations isn't a permanent fix, it's at least a temporary reprieve.
Those who are eligible will be able to apply for a work permit. In Florida, they can get a driver's license. And at least for some time, won't have to worry about whether or not there's going to be that knock on the door.
President Obama says he will work with lawmakers on a bipartisan comprehensive bill of permanent changes for the immigration system. Reuters reports House Speaker John Boehner responded via YouTube video saying, the president said before he's not a king and not an emperor, but he's sure acting like one. Meantime, in Missouri, many reportedly fear more violence inevitable, whether or not Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson is indicted in the shooting death of Michael Brown. Mona Shan tells us that's why one group says giving today's teenagers conflict resolution skills is the key to a calmer and more just society in the future.
Joshua Salim heads up the Peace Education Program for the American Friends Service Committee in St. Louis. He says too often, young people aren't given a voice when it comes to big issues like income inequality and racial disparities.
They've got the energy, they've got the ideas. They are, in many ways, thinking outside of the box when it comes to these problems. So it's critical that we get their voice at the table.
The Peace Education Program has both school-based and community-based outreach in the St. Louis area, with a focus on conflict resolution, civic engagement, and organizing skills. A decision from the grand jury in the case of Officer Darren Wilson is expected any day. I'm Mona Shand reporting.
It's a program called Stand Up. Mark Shearer reports that graduate students from the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center at Bridgewater State will help middle and high school students learn bullying prevention practices.
In 2010, the legislature passed a landmark anti-bullying law. An act passed earlier this year directed schools to develop bullying prevention plans. Dr. Elizabeth Englander of Bridgewater State oversees the summit held today at a conference facility in Fenway Park.
It's very, very hard to deal with situations like bullying effectively once they've happened. Prevention is really the name of the game.
One emphasis is on enlisting students to help their classmates look past the prejudice, stereotypes, and miscommunication that can breed bullying.
The summit is sponsored by the Massachusetts Teachers Association. The group points out bullies have new tools like Facebook and Twitter thanks to social media. Illinois houses an estimated 49,000 people in its prison system. A recent report finds it's one of the most overcrowded in the entire country. Mary Sherman takes a closer look at those numbers.
According to the Federal Bureau of Justice Statistics' most recent census of prisoners, Illinois is operating at over 170% of the capacity it was designed for. Meanwhile, Alan Mills with the Uptown People's Law Center says the Department of Corrections budget has decreased by more than 10% in the last few years. He says the human impact is devastating, especially at maximum security facilities.
There is not enough capacity to provide programming for these folks. There's no more education programs. There aren't even any jobs for them to do. They simply sit there and stare at the walls or a TV set if they're lucky, and I put that in big quotes, enough to have one. And these are not necessarily all people in segregation.
Mills says prisons are so full that people who don't need to be in solitary confinement can't be moved out, and some inmates live in warehouses, gyms, and basements. He says the lack of resources to provide meaningful programs makes it more likely that people will commit new crimes when they are released. According to the census, Alabama is the only prison system more crowded than Illinois.
Folks in North Carolina have the power of the sun to be thankful for as the Thanksgiving holiday approaches. That's according to a new report from Environment North Carolina. More now from Stephanie Carson.
The analysis found the state has one of the fastest-growing solar industries in the country, growing by 127% in recent years. It also recommends a goal for North Carolina to generate 20% of its energy from the sun by the year 2030. Maya Gold with Environment North Carolina says it is within reach.
North Carolina is definitely a leader when it comes to solar on a national level. So to take solar power to the next level, our leaders just have to keep their foot on the accelerator and certainly not put on the brakes.
Gold says for the state to reach the goal, it will need to maintain a solar installation growth rate of 26% a year.
Finally, the number of babies lost to sudden infant death syndrome has declined significantly since the 1990s, but John Michelson reports dozens are still dying in Minnesota each year, drawing attention to the importance of sleep safety.
The most critical step in reducing the risk of SIDS is putting a baby to sleep on his or her back, and Corey Woosley with Child Care Aware of Minnesota says the crib should also be cleared.
No bumpers, no toys in the cribs, no blankets. It's interesting because parents and providers often think those babies will get cold, but they really don't get cold. If they have a sleeper on, they're just fine and they don't need those additional blankets.
Over the last 5 years statewide, there have been nearly 250 deaths in which an unsafe sleep environment was cited as a contributing factor, although the numbers have been trending down.
The most dramatic progress has been in Minnesota's child care community. In 2011, there were 11 infant deaths in child care settings in the state. To date this year, there's been just one. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
KPBS and Union Bank are honoring two inspiring individuals in honor of American Indian Heritage Month through their Local Heroes program, which pays tribute to exemplary leaders who are making a difference and enriching the lives of others by improving their community, their region, and the world at large. This year's honorees for the American Indian Heritage Month are Dr. Daniel Kalick and Roy Cook.
Dr. Kalik is the medical director of the Indian Health Council, which is a consortium of 9 tribes dedicated to the betterment of Indian health, wholeness, and well-being. A principal investigator of the California Native American Research Centers for Health, Dr. Kalik was born and raised on the Pama Indian Reservation locally. He began his pathway in medicine as a tribal doctor. He received his bachelor's degree in biology from San Diego State University and a medical degree from Harvard Medical School, where he was awarded the Arthur Ashe Foundation Fellowship at the Harvard AIDS Institute. Dr. Kalik participated in the Four Directions Summer Program. That's a student-run project that brings Native American undergraduates to Harvard to perform research, shadow physicians, and meet Native American medical students. He's a member of the Luiseno Band of Mission Indians, the Intertribal Youth Advisory Board, and a board member of the California State University San Marcos Foundation. Roy Cook is a tribal writer, author, journalist, native singer, and artist born in Arizona of Utan Opata and Oklahoma Wazazi Osage heritage. An Army veteran, he is the president and the historian of the San Diego American Indian Warriors Association. He also serves as the tribal historian for the Southern California American Indian Resource Center in San Diego County. Mr. Cook is a member of the Golden State Gourd Dance Society and Western Oklahoma Comanche Gourd Clan. He has served as the curator of the American Indian Cultural Center Museum, San Diego Balboa Park, and the Indian Human Resources Center, Inc. He has published more than 300 stories for print and online covering many Native American topics, and he has taught at numerous colleges here in San Diego, including Palomar College, Mesa Community College, and Grossmont College in East County, where he also served as chairman of the Multicultural Studies Department. KPBS General Manager Tom Carlos says KPBS is honored to continue its partnership with Union Bank to celebrate these local heroes during American Indian Heritage Month. Through their efforts in our communities, he says, these extraordinary individuals improve the quality of life for all. For more information or to nominate a future local hero, you can visit kpbs.org/heroes. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Brenna with some noteworthy news for local authors. It's that time of year again when San Diego's best and brightest minds converge on the San Diego County Library in downtown San Diego. For the 49th consecutive year, the city will honor and celebrate authors and their books. The local author exhibit highlights the intellectual and creative accomplishments of writers in the San Diego region. The San Diego Public Library is calling on San Diego County authors who have published books in 2014 to submit them to the 49th Annual Local Author Exhibit. East County Magazine in San Diego has played a major role in supporting the authors that will attend this reception. A number of current and past participants in the annual Authors Exhibition have had their books reviewed on East County Magazine. These include Anat Tour, author of Mama's Bees. Also expect Raina Menash, author of Silent Bird and the host of East County Magazine Live, KNSJ Radio Show. Zora Garamani, author of Sky of Red Poppies, and Caitlin Rother with her latest book, Naked Addiction. Miss Rother was a guest on her radio show discussing 2 earlier books reviewed by East County Magazine, Lost Girls and I'll Take Care of You. The last day to register and submit your books for the County Library's local author exhibit is Sunday, November 30th.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
In response to public requests, federal agencies have extended the public comment period for the draft Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan Environmental Impact Report and Environmental Impact Statement by 45 days. The comment period, originally scheduled to close on January 9th, will be extended until February 23rd, 2015. The draft plan designates vast tracts for large-scale renewable energy projects as well as other areas for conservation, covering over 22 million acres of land in multiple counties in California, including San Diego. The plan presents 6 alternative approaches for meeting renewable energy and conservation goals through the year 2040. For more information on the draft and how you can submit your comments, visit www.drecp.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Leon Thompson with some holiday travel tips. If you're planning to travel out of the country over the holidays, now is the time to apply for your passport, book, or card. A passport is required for international air travel and also for crossing the international borders into Mexico or Canada. The county clerk offers passport walk-in services with no appointment necessary at its office downtown from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. It can take 4 to 6 weeks to get a routine passport, so it's best to apply for passports now. If you're traveling in less than 2 weeks or need a foreign visa in less than 4 weeks, you can contact the U.S. Department of State's San Diego Passport Agency at 1 Columbia Place downtown. An appointment is required at the State Department's Passport Agency and can be made by calling 877-487-2778. To quickly process your passport application, be prepared with a completed application, but don't sign it ahead of time. You will also need proof of U.S. citizenship, such as birth certificate or certificate of naturalization, and proof of identity, which must be a government-issued ID. You will also need a photo, or one will be taken, along with payment in cash, check, or money order. All applicants must appear in person. You can find additional information on the Clerk of the Board's passport application website.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.